why show up?
Because it's give away a lot of money for 20th.
Here we go. Money talk. Here comes the money.
Morning, evening, and afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to episode 10 of the Plugged In podcast, joined by Ben in the booth. Benny, how are we doing?
Very good, very good. I remember when we started the Covered It pod that apparently if you get to episode 20, you last longer than 90% of the podcasts out there. So we're halfway there. And I'm not gonna lie, I feel like there's been a few thoughts about giving up, but we've had a couple of winners recently. We're starting to make a bit of money. There's a big fish coming. I can feel it.
And it's not even the guarantees that are winning for us anymore. It's not Luke Little or 3-1 out in the darts and X out there or whatever the hell we were betting. It's Shane Larry coming in each way. It's big money, big billies. Because, yeah, we're trying our best to disassociate ourselves from the money. But, Ben, let's dive straight into what happened last week. Over in the Cognizant Classic. This sounded so much better when it was the Honda Open. But the Cognizant Classic, Austin Eckrow picks up his first win. The PGA Tour, after 50 events on the PGA Tour, earns his invite to the Masters. And he earned $3 million less than Joaquin Neiman. But I just love how much it means to these. And we mentioned this last week about other segments. But how much it means to these players who are just picking up so much less money, but just earn an exemption for life.
Yeah, it's good. Like, so much is made of the money. And as it's always been said about the players going to live, like, how much money do you actually need to live? Or how much, like, at what point, diminishing returns, at what point just getting more money not mean anything? And it's good to see players like Austin Eckroat, been out on tour for a couple of years. He's had 50 starts, finally gets a win. Now he gets to kind of realize everything he's worked towards, getting to the Masters, playing in all the majors. So, yeah, it was good. A good story. I would like to have seen Shane win it, but I think he's trending.
I was shocked because somebody mentioned this on Twitter the other day. Do you know how many wins Shane Larry has in the PGA Tour?
I'm going to guess one.
Two, including the Open Championship. His last one came back in 2015 at the WGC Bridgestone, I think. Like, God, it feels like he's been out there a long time competing. And for as good as we think he is here in Ireland, he just can't get the job done.
You get a free ride for 5 years when you win a major. And nobody really thinks about it. You are always on the leaderboard, kind of popping up. Even if you don't get a win, you kind of get a pass. So eventually, I'm sure Shane is starting to feel the pressure, but I'm sure he'll get it done soon.
Do you think Shane, if I told you Shane wins 2.5 more PGA Tour events, do you think he wins more or less than that? God, I really put you on the spot here, Ben.
Going on historical data, no, I don't think he does. Like, he's won a major, he's won a WGC, they're big events, but he hasn't won anything else. Like, obviously he's won an Irish Open, he's won stuff like that, but hasn't won anything that side of the pond. I would say, no, I don't think he's going to win 3 PGA Tour events.
No, I agree with you. God, I don't want to beat him down too much, but this is his first top 10 on the PGA Tour since the Honda last year.
That's pretty wild. Was he a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. He must show kind of spouts of form throughout the season, but never quite gets it done, gets a couple of top 10s, and that's what keeps him inside. Like, he's getting into this elevated event on a sponsor's exemption, so maybe you need something like that to kind of spur you on a little bit. Once you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable, start playing a bit better golf, because he has to now get into these events.
Yeah. Did you see Shane Bacon's tweet the other day about all of the PGA Tour winners in 2024 versus in 2023?
Was it the one showing their odds?
No, I think that was Jason Sobel. It's the one literally naming every event.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like chalk and cheese. Big names comparison.
Like, just to quickly mention here, 2023, the first eight events, we had three John Rahm victories, one for Scotty Scheffler, one for Max Homa, Justin Rose, Siwoo Kim, and Chris Kirk. And so far this year, we've had Ekrod, Matsuyama, Taylor, Clark, Pavon, Dunlap, Murray, and Kirk. Like, there was this other tweet flying around the other day about Formula One saying, if you're wondering, being 1.039 seconds off of P1 would have placed you P5 at the 2016 Bahrain GP. In 2024, it leaves you last. So basically, that 1 second shows that the gap is ever closing. Mm. And for some reason, it just feels like the gap between the top and the winners in the PGA Tour now and the winners back in 2016 is like growing, if that makes sense.
Just it feeds into the narrative that LIV has drawn out some of the good players like John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, those sort of guys who may have been getting wins at this stage in the season. I think it's just down to a bit of coincidence. I think we're probably going to go on a run where we'll get three or four winners that come out of the top 50 in the world very quickly. I think it's kind of coincidence, but the longer it goes on, the more you think. Yeah. And as in general, are all the golfers on the PGA Tour just at a higher standard?
Yeah, very, 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 very true. Like the players coming out, like Dunlap, who's won already. Austin Ekro, I think he's only like 25 years of age, just a younger talent.
Like Jake Knapp, he looks like, again, I don't want to like recency bias of just watching him, but his swing just looks so good. You just think, how can that guy not go on and win like proper big events after that? So
looks like the real deal. Well, someone else who looks like the real deal, but more so acts like the real deal, it's Joaquin Niemann, who won at LIV Jeddah. His last 7 starts worldwide. Win 3rd, 30th, win T4, win 5th. Like, irregardless of what tour you're playing on, unless it's your monthly medal, that's a pretty impressive streak. Ben, over, under 2.5 hours spent watching LIV this weekend?
Oh, definitely over. I tuned in and watched the whole first round. I watched a little bit of Saturday, not much, and then I probably watched the last couple of holes on Sunday. So yeah, I watched the most I've ever watched LIV. Still don't really care. There's actually, I was texting a friend of mine, John, texted me saying, the problem with LIV is actually too much golf, and I agree. I'm used to sitting down and watching golf in a very relaxing Sunday evening sort of vibe. When LIV is on, it's just, there's a shot, someone else's hold this, someone's hold that, which is kind of what the product should be, but actually I'm not trained to that, and I quite enjoy the relaxing Sunday evening watch. So I'm not saying the LIV product is completely bad, but there's almost too much golf going on, and there's too much music is the only thing. Get rid of the music in the background.
The music I can completely agree with. Did you see John Rahm giving out a bit of music and the drone flying overhead? Yeah. I think if Jay Monahan and Yasser came together and they say, you know what, we're going to split the difference here, they would have the perfect TV product. Like,
yeah.
PGA Tour, even watching on Monday with Austin Ekro win, it was still so disturbed in terms of the number of commercials. And I think when you're probably in work or whatever, and you're trying to see it on your phone every now and again, you just turn it on, there's a commercial. It's frustrating, but LIV has the exact opposite effect. To be honest, I actually really enjoy the LIV product, like the LIV TV product, in terms of but so much of this is tailored towards the betting community, that if you're watching this and you bet on a player who's in T15, you're far more likely to see their shots on the LIV Tour than you are on the PGA Tour, because PGA Tour will show 2 shots of the top 5 players and then they'll go to a break, whereas LIV is just nonstop.
Yeah. No, there are things, like you said, I think if they combined, they could create the perfect product, but we've gone far past the point of them trying to create a perfect product, and they're just trying to make money whichever way they can, but it's pulling golf in different directions. I will say, Joaquin Niemann is quickly becoming a really dislikable figure. I really liked him. I think he's an absolute baller. He is definitely a top 10 player in the world right now, the way he's playing. But God, give it a rest. You got your invite. You got invited to the PGA Championship. He's probably already in the field for the Open. I'm not sure. Just give it a rest. Like, I don't care. And like now LIV have come out and said they're no longer going to apply for OWGR points. So I just bore off.
Have you watched Traitors on the Dodgy Box yet?
No. I know what it is, but I haven't watched it.
Oh god. You gotta watch that. It's like
really
sorry, I don't want to get off track here, but like I am hooked. I watched episode 12 of season 1, Traitors UK last night. And Ben, my hands were literally shaking, wondering what is good. Like adrenaline pumping, as if I was in a plane 30,000 feet above the ground. It just said, our engines have lost power. We are going down. That's how much adrenaline I had going through. But my point here is, I think Joaquin Neiman would make the perfect traitor. Just somebody deceiving, cunning, smart, doesn't really give a shit. But then he comes out with these mad statements and he will cut anyone behind their back.
I like the one thing it has done is I'm really looking forward. I always look forward to the Masters, but I'm really looking forward to this Masters because I think there's even a bigger divide between players not being there and players that should be there. Joaquin's got an invite. So I'm looking forward to kind of the villain storylines that come out of the Masters.
I cannot wait for that. Two other tournaments I want to mention real quick that happened this week. LPGA Tour, the HSB Women's World Championship, Hannah Green birdied the last three holes, including a 30-footer on the last to win by one shot. And on the DP World Tour, I forgot to take down the name. What's the name?
Jordan Gumberg won in a playoff against Robin Tiger Williams.
Did you watch much? Like, you're a true golf junkie if you watch this.
They're actually, you couldn't have watched it. It wasn't on Sky. It wasn't on Super Sport in South Africa. There was no coverage of it. I watched the playoff via Twitter from the DP World, only because I remember seeing that guy, Jordan Gumberg, qualify into the Irish Challenge on the Challenge Tour back in July. And for him to go from that to getting an invite into this event to win it, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. So good. All right, Ben, quickly, we'll go on to covered it storylines. How much would you love to play Seminole Golf Club down in Florida?
I feel like I only want to play it because I keep seeing all these pros play it. When I see pictures of it or drone footage, yeah, it looks great, but it doesn't look any better than LaHinch or Rosapenna or somewhere like that. It doesn't stand out, but it obviously must be spectacular if that's where they always end up going.
Yeah, like, oh God, so like, how do these people get so high in their jobs that they get a seminar? Like, Eric Van Rooyen was tied for first place on Sunday evening when play stopped, or second place. And he went to play the Seminole Pro-Am, even though there was a chance that he would be in contention. And they said that if he did end up tying for the lead, they would have a taxi ready and waiting for him to take him to the airport, to fly him back to PGA National. Like, Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods playing with Mike Walrath, who's the CEO of Right Media, and Seth Waugh, who's the CEO of the PGA of America. Jerry McIlroy and Rory McIlroy were paired together. Ed Herlihy, who you may know from the PGA and the LIV merger, and Pádraig Harrington. Nelly Korda, who playing with the chief operating officer of Goldman Sachs Group. Brad Faxon playing with the CEO of Paramount Streaming. So many big names. Look, and who?
I was going to say, having the last couple of years spent my time looking for sponsors for various golfers that are playing on the DP World Tour, that's where it comes from. You got to keep the sponsors happy. You got to show up to these things. You got to go play in the events. That's money makes the world go round.
I cannot wait to see Robin getting in to play Seminole and inviting the Quack lads over, play a game, get an invite. I would love to see that. One other storyline that I have this week, you actually don't even need to comment because I have no idea what you'd even say on this, but Drake and LeBron James are now investing into the PGA Tour, according to the New York Times. And my only takeaway from this, Ben, is thank God it's not DJ Khaled, because that would be the PGA Tour in the dust for me.
DJ Khaled's next, I reckon. I hate him.
Well, something that we don't hate is the PGA Tour so far. It's the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Scottie Scheffler has given the spider putter a go. It's 70 players. There is a cut this week. Top 50 and ties. Defending champion Kurt Kitayama down at Bay Hill, 7,460 yards, par 72. Let's kick it off with this, Ben. Do you have any in particular bets for this event?
Because I knew you'd have this event covered so well, I've actually got no bets for this.
Love it.
So you go ahead.
Okay, let me... Ben, you're supposed to go first.
Or would you like me to? Would you like me to give you my pick for the Puerto Rico Open?
Oh, that's spicy. Oh, yeah, let's kick it off with that.
If people didn't know, there is an alternate event on. This is a mule event. This is where there's a mule uprising. Someone is going to win there, and they're going to secure their card. This guy already, he's been playing on the PGA Tour for a couple of years, had a very quick rise from the Sunshine Tour, played a little bit of DP, got onto the PGA Tour, had a win a couple of years ago. He showed some good form last week. Garrick Higgo at 40-1. I've got 20 billies each way on him.
The Higgy Master.
This week has Garrick Higgo written all over it.
I tell you what else has written all over. Someone who did a lot of research to go into the Puerto Rico Open. That's a testament to your hard work. Weeks of success building up to this. Love that.
Would you believe I was even on Data Golf?
Oh, baby. Yeah, God, so... my home. My residential palace, datagolf.com. All right, well, datagolf.com pointed me towards the winners out at the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week, Ben. And I give you the two lads who are going to finish within the top 10 before I give you the actual winner. 28-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick, 10 billies each way. He's the fourth best player here since 2019. Ball striking has been a little bit off recently, but this tick rough out at PGA National, or Bay Hill, I mean, is some of the thickest rough that we'll play. He's an excellent short game player and gained almost three strokes with the putter at PGA National. I think we need to see Matthew Fitzpatrick win a little bit again. Like, just not winning since the US Open. I just want to see him step up.
He's currently on the Shane Lowry free pass for the next couple of years.
And I'm going back on my word, which is something I don't really like doing. Because I mentioned a few weeks ago that I will never bet Matthew Fitzpatrick again. But here we go. I tell you what, though. Someone who I cannot get away from. 70-1, Matthew Pavon, 10 billies each way. I swear I am not picking him just because I like his name. The putter is red hot. The ball striking was great until last week. And like, he got in contention before a few miserable double bogeys. He doubled the last on Sunday. He doubled 16 on Saturday. He was top 10 entering the final round. I think it's coming again for the world number 24. Genuinely, I think Matthew Pavon, at 70-1, considering the fact that last week, I think he was like 50 or 60-1. He's actually 45-1 last week. 70-1, I love it in a 70 man field.
Yeah.
Okay, that's that. But Ben, genuinely, the person who's winning this week, it's Willie Zalatoris at 25-1, 15 billies each way. Coming back from this injury, he's gained 6.7 strokes ball striking at the Genesis, finished tied for second, finished tied for 13th before that. He's gaining strokes with the putter. The putter has heated up and finished 10th here at Bay Hill in 2021. I am genuinely convinced that Will Zalatoris is winning this week, and nobody is convincing me otherwise.
What if Scotty finds something with the spider putter?
What if? We've been saying that for the last 18 months. I'm not buying anymore. Scotty Scheffler's not going anywhere with that putter anytime soon.
Okay. I'll clip that.
Please don't. Over on the DP World Tour, we got the Johnson Workwear Open. Ben, any bets over here?
You're passing that over to me like you haven't done any research.
I'm going to do a quick calculation here, but I'm trying to work out how much I'm betting on it.
Johnson Workwear, it's the second of the South African events on the DP World this time of year. I don't know if this one will be televised, probably not. I've picked a guy, an American guy, who's come over, got his card through Q Schools, had a good start. I've mentioned him a few times because he makes really good content on socials. He's gone T55, T42, T12 last week. My pick to win the Johnson Workwear Open is James Nicklaus at 100-1. So I've got 10 each way on James Nicklaus.
I would pray. I would be so happy to see. Like, he is literally my TikTok Hall of Fame superstar. Yeah.
He's like the golden boy of the DP world. They can't stop using his content.
Oh God, that would be magical. Okay, I'm going to do, I have two more bets in total, but one on the DP World Tour. Ben, I'm sorry about this. I've gone for your boy. I was stuck in Gavin Green at 50-1. He's finished 6th here in 2023, 12th-11 in his last two starts. But that is not who I'm going for. I'm going for 15 billies on Ewan Ferguson at 18-1. Shani will have smile from ear to ear in the morning. Listen to this. God, I went through rickrodengood.com, went to the 2023 leaderboard, filtered it from top to bottom. And who was there in fourth place was Ewan Ferguson in 2023. And as well as that, like, his iron play has been good over the last few months. The weakness has been the putter. 28th, 7th, 9th in his last three starts. Combine that with a top five in 2023, I just have to give 15 billies at 18-1 for the Scott Ewan Ferguson. That's bad, wasn't it?
I'm glad someone, if we just take turns covering him all year, eventually one of us will hit. So I'm glad he's been covered by you.
Welcome to another episode of the Ewan Ferguson Fan Club with Ben and Mark. Okay, so Ben, your two bets so far, you've had one on the DP World Tour and one on the PGA.
One on the PGA. I've got one more bet on Live Hong Kong.
And you've got three bets, that's it.
Three bets. I like to keep it easy. Otherwise, there's too much stuff to track.
Oh, I love it. Okay, Live Hong Kong. I actually do have one there as well. The course is, this is pretty unique, the Hong Kong Golf Club. God, what a name. It's a par 70, 6,700 yards. Pretty narrow, which I don't love for my pick this week, but it doesn't really matter. Ben, you go first and fire away.
When I was doing my research, I obviously scrolled to the very bottom because I was expecting to see what odds Anthony Kim was going to be. And would you believe they have Lee Westwood priced at worse odds than Anthony Kim? Like Anthony Kim, who finished 32 shots off the leader last week, is shorter odds than Lee Westwood. You can get Lee Westwood at 500-1, Anthony Kim at 400-1. Thought that was telling. Poor old Lee, collect his last few paychecks before he gets kicked off at the end of this season. Obviously, I've not backed any of the Majestics. They're a disgrace of a team. We need a couple of new captains in there. I backed Adrian Meronk at 20-1, 20 billies each way. He seems to be playing good golf. Was put on the clock this week. Maybe that'll fire him up a bit. Start playing a bit quicker golf. I think he's primed to win an event soon. He's much better than most of those golfers out there.
I just got, when you mentioned about the Majestics and how bad of a team they are, I looked up the opposite of a Majestic, and you can have the word pitiful or pathetics. So if we start calling the Majestics the Pathetics, I think that's a pretty good name for that team. We've got a pathetic tracker going on. Love
they are the most, speaking of trackers, I saw Anthony Kim tracker emerged, obviously, since Anthony Kim's back in play. He was tracking the first round. Halfway through the first round, he said he was too tired, had to go to bed. That's such a pathetic attempt by the tracker. You can't be a tracker and then not stay up. Oh, that was embarrassing.
If you're 20 over through the first nine, if your guy's 20 over through the first nine, though, and he's after hitting a shank, maybe you'd want to go to bed. But I do like the Adrian Meronk.
Yeah. Also, big shout out to Liv for enforcing time penalties. Who thought that that we would be looking to Liv as the league that would enforce this before the PGA Tour does properly? So fair play to them.
The golf and mecca of rules enforcement. Just like, I would love to see Adrian Meronk come out with like a watch on this week, just taking the complete piss out of what happened. But I don't think Adrian Meronk is winning, because I have Cameron Smith at 18-1, 15 billies to win. Okay, so I would love to pretend that I did this research, but I didn't. I took it from the Mayo Media newsletter. So just, now that I've admitted this, I may as well just go and read it off straight. Cameron Smith is 18-1 to win the Masters and 18-1 to win this tournament. So that was good enough for me. Additionally, Aussie's won four of the past five events at this venue on the Asian/Euro Tour before becoming a live track, last of which in 2023. And guess who finished second? It was Cameron Smith. 41st last week before top... No, that's not right. Where Cameron Smith finished second in 2023. I was torn between him and Lucas Herbert at around 60 or 55 to 1 or something, but I know it's a tight golf course, 6,700 yards, going to be a bit of a wedge fest. I just think he has a good chance this week.
How did your last live bet get on last week, Mark?
Moving on. Matthew Wolf, 5 billies each way, or 10 billies at 33 to 1 or something. Yeah, Wolfie, we need to get it together.
He had a bad stomach.
He withdrew. Did you see Wade Ormsby? Like, Liv have players waiting on the sideline to come in as substitutes.
Yeah, he gets paid to go to Liv for the week, even if he doesn't get used as a sub. Great.
That's what Anthony Kim should be doing.
Yeah. This is a topic for a much longer version of the pod, but Anthony Kim quite clearly is way off the pace. Doesn't really look like he enjoys it that much. Obviously, he's not doing that much press stuff. Like, he's signed in for the rest of the year, the last 11 events or whatever it is. He really doesn't look like it. If he goes out and does the same thing in Hong Kong, he's surely not going to want to keep doing this week after week, or like whenever it happens every 3 weeks. Strange decisions.
Somebody who's been sitting at home watching trailers for the last 10 years, and then all of a sudden they have to start traveling around. Did you see, definitely discussion for a longer pod, but did you see, there's a rumor going around that apparently Liv have bought up the rights to release his story, because this whole insurance compensation payout claim form something, apparently that's not true. Apparently there's a deeper story behind the whole thing.
I didn't hear that. I did hear there was rumor of a documentary or something, but when Greg Norman was in the booth on the first day of Liv, he made some comments about Anthony Kim having a very addictive personality. Like, basically, there was a lot of insinuation that Anthony Kim did a lot of drugs in the last 10 years. So, like I said at the start, I'm much more interested in the Anthony Kim story than I am Anthony Kim playing golf. So I can't wait to hear what actually has gone on, if he does decide to tell.
Definitely not performance enhancement drugs based on what happened last week. So, Ben, based on that, we will leave it there. Thank you once again for joining me. I am looking forward to hitting the winner this week. Cannot wait to celebrate with you next week. Fingers crossed. Ben, thanks for having me on your show. Talk to you again next week.
Cheers, Mark.
Chat to you. Give away a lot of money for 20th.
Here we go. Money talk. Here comes the money.